Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Just to remind us that the Bhagavad Gita, divided in three segments, the six chapters, the first segment, we learned all about ourselves. The second chapter did tell us about the summary of who we are. What we remember from second chapter is the self is immutable, imperishable. The myself, which I considered me, is immutable, imperishable. But we never made a connection of what that really means. We say, okay, with somebody who realizes that, how would he act, how would he behave in this world? Will he be completely different than us that we can find out that's him? So we saw the characteristics of a jnani. But that didn't give us any different than what we do. So the next few chapters gave us how to analyze our actions and ourselves, and then recalibrate so our actions become more productive and more effective. And that segment ended with the last chapter, meditation. Meditation is the means given to us to recalibrate this instrument called mind, body, and intellect. Then this next segment of the six chapters from 7 to 12, we learned is all about what is that imperishable self, which we talked about in chapter 2. So that's where the first chapter of this segment, chapter 7, which is a Jnana Vijnana Yoga, that we want to have this knowledge about the Lord, or that immutable self we learned in chapter 2, but how can we make it a Visishta Jnana, that we can apply it. And therefore, the chapter 7 in detail describe the Lord's nature and why we can realize that in our day-to-day life. So we saw in the first, Bhagavan said that I manifest in this world as the Eightfold Prakriti. That's something which you and I can see. Bhagavan said that's nothing but my own manifestation. And then he said there's nothing in this world which does not come out of me. Anything that you can see, feel, touch and perceive has came out of me and will dissolve in me. And all this world of plurality, as we see, is strung to each other. And nothing is independent like an island in this universe, which is the hinting at us that we think we are the island of this universe as me, and everything else is revolving around me. He said, no, everything is strung in a necklace. Pearls are strung into a necklace, and I am that common thread. I pervade through this universe as the Eightfold Prakriti, and you are part of that Prakriti. And I am this, the unmanifest is the common thread in among all the manifestations, which apparently looks different from each other. He said, why then we are not seeing that? He said, because you are under the spell of my divine Maya. My Maya, which creates this plurality out of singularity, as long as you are under the spell of that, you see yourself different than this world. So we defined that this Maya has these three gunas, or how the Maya creates this plurality of infinite varieties of things and beings. It's because there's three basic gunas, the qualities of Maya, sattva, rajas and tamas, the permutation combination of these three gunas create myriads of forms and myriads of colors, myriads of shapes and sounds. And but as long as I can't overcome that maya, you can't see it. In the last we have seen it that Ichha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharat. Because of this desire or that desire, because of I have divided this world into two, the world I like and the world I don't like, that right from the birth I am deluded about myself. That immutable, imperishable self talked about in chapter 2, I'm not recognizing yet because of only my duality, my concept of duality created by my mind. My mind says this is me and everything else is the world. As long as I can't get out of that concept out of my mind, Bhagavan said you won't be able to realize this thing. However, he says in the last three verses, it said that those jnanis who have erased this wrong notion of who I am, and their papas are all erased by this new line of thinking. I said, Esham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmana. So there is a hope. You know, the Bhagavan said that this is not just a philosophical discussion. And look, I'm telling you, you will never realize it, but just believe me. He said, no. Let's figure out what was the problem in the beginning. The problem was my wrong line of thinking, that I am different than this world, created this notion that I am this limited being, and therefore I have all these problems, or whatever the limitations I consider as problems. Once I undo that thinking, that I am this limited being, that will be gone. So he said, Esham tu antagatam papam. Those whose papas have come to an end. And now the classic definition of papa is that sin is a thought or an impression which takes me away from myself, takes me away from my understanding of that I am that immutable, imperishable self, and creates this division between I and the world is the papa. As long as I'm driven by the desires of the flesh, then my thinking would be to how to fulfill that desire. When I start thinking, and if I continue thinking in the same line of thinking, it creates the deep channels in my mind, which now guide the second thought into the same channel. This habit of following the same line of thinking to fulfill the desires creates papa. Because I just can't get out of that line of thinking that this will make me happy. Last time I had a cup of coffee and made me happy, this time it should do the same thing. And I continue to do that. And Bhagavan said that creates a wrong notion of who you are. How do I come out of it? He said, more and more I become the introvert by the technique given to me in the previous chapter, the meditation. That no, this is not me. The one who is getting happy with the Starbucks coffee is not me. It's someone other than me, myself. He said, that line of thinking erases those channels which were created by my attempt to satisfy all the desires that my body and mind and intellect has created. More I fulfill my desire, new experiences I get, that creates new channels of thinking, and that creates new vasanas. This vasana, the tendencies, creates more the same line of thinking and create the same line of actions. I need to get out of doing actions in the same line of thinking which is not giving me happiness. Even though I figured out the last time I invested money in stock market was not good, But because everybody says, don't miss this cycle, I'm back again. You need to get out of that line of thinking, Bhagavan said. Once you start meditating on what really makes me happy, if I analyze my experience, is that the experience which made me happy? Or something else made me happy? And you come to the conclusion, it is that no desire makes me happy. When I'm completely at ease, that I don't want anything, I've already eaten my lunch and I don't have anywhere to go, and I can just sit down in front of TV or that. At least I still have just a desire to watch TV, but even if I drop that, I probably will be completely happy. And Bhagavan said that line of thinking creates undoing of all these wrong channels created in my mind. So now I have removed all the papas. Papas are just the wrong line of thinking, wrong line of vasanas. Said, Esham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. Method, obviously, we have learned in the first six chapters is karma yoga, selfless actions. When I do the actions in a manner which erases this line of thinking, that working for fulfilling my desire makes me happy, I also realize actually the real happiness I got when I did something for others. That's the true happiness we get. When you do something for our children, something for our parents, something for our relatives, something for our friends, that really gives you happiness. Jananam punya karmanam. They have changed the line of actions. Therefore, they change the line of their thinking. Therefore, they change the line of their tendencies. And now they are in a completely different realm of actions, completely different realm of thinking, that their papas are all erased and said, Te dvandva moha nirmukta. So now they are out of this duality. That I'm not just working for me, I'm working for the whole humanity, the whole my town, whole my family. I keep expanding my identity, so there's one point, there is no duality between I and the world. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. This dvandva is nothing but a delusion, that you and I are different from each other, that this world and I are two different entities, is nothing but a delusion. He said, those who by acting in a right manner, erase those line of thinking, which creates delusion, and now, bhajante mam dhrabrataha. Bhajante, worshipping. Worshipping, we have seen, is an act of love. That the love for the divine becomes so firm, that I am firmly established in the thought that I and the world are nothing but part of the same all-pervading entity. The next verse says, Jara Marana Mokshaya. And why I'm doing all of this? Because the two things I'm afraid of in life are Jara, old age, and Marana. We had a party yesterday, somebody has a Valentine Day party. And you know what is the topic? Because we are all probably above 50 there. How do we get out of this problem of when you are dying, you know, the 10 tubes going through you? Because we are afraid of jara, old age. I will not be in my control. You know, I was reading time about Ronald Reagan when he was taking a walk and people say, good morning, Mr. President. He wouldn't recognize why people are calling me president. Or he didn't know that he was a president. He said, this guy is nice that you're greeting me. That's all he can think. Now, the thought that if a person reaches that level and then reaches to a point where he can't even recognize who he is pretty scary for all of us. Because all of our life, we took pride in what? I'm in control. I take care of myself. I take care of my family. I take care of my business. I take care of my... That I take care, I am in charge, makes me who I am. Very thought that I will not be in control is very, very disturbing to us. We want to get out of that. And next is marana. I want to exist and the death wipes me out. It just doesn't seem right. Jara marana mokshaya. For the liberation from this thought of old age and death. Mam Asritya, taking complete refuge in me, means sense not Lord Krishna or Rama or Jesus, in that immutable self, taking complete refuge in identification with my immutable self. Just as I'm in a complete control in a barber's chair, I'm sitting in a barber's chair, the hair which I let go and the hair which I keep, I'm in complete control. The hair which I let go, I don't get attached and say, well, please, please, pack it up for me, I'll take home. What do I say? I say, wipe it out clean as quickly as possible. So keep your place clean, my friend. You know, what kind of a shop you have? So what I let go, I have detachment right away. At the time of death, what am I clinging to? I want to stay in this existence with this body. Jara marana mokshaya. Once I am liberated, I am not the one who is dying. This body is dying. Just in a barber's chair, I said, let's get rid of this thing. In the time of death, I said, let's get rid of this thing also. I said, te brahma tadviduho. Krishnam adhyatmam karmacha akhilam. Te brahma tadviduho. They realize Krishnam Brahma. They realize that ultimate reality, the Brahman. I think last time we had a little discussion about the Brahman. Brahman is that ultimate reality which I call myself. Or myself is made up of that ultimate reality. So I understand it fully. Right now I understand myself in a limited sense. At that point, I understand myself in its totality. Te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma cha akhilam. I also understand my adhyatmam in pertaining to my divine nature and cha karma and my action in akhilam. So in other words, Bhagavan said, the one who knows the self knows everything. One who knows this self in its purest sense, he knows the Brahman in its totality, he knows all the actions in its totality, he knows all the adhyatmam, that is pertaining to the devas. And we have seen that the devas are the productive potential of my sense organ. The next verse says, sa adibhut adi daivam mam sa adi yagnam chaye viduhu prayana kale pichamam te viduhu yukta chetasaha. So those who know me with the adibhuta. Now obviously there are technical terms introduced here to give you the indication of what we're going to discuss in the next chapter. When we go to the one topic to another, we need to make connections, which ties the topic we are talking to the next topic we're going to be discussing. So the last verse says, sa adibhut adi daivam mam sa adi yagnam cha ye viduho. Those who know me with pertaining to bhuta, this world of object, you know, the manifestation, as we have seen in eightfold prakriti, which is very easy for us. We can realize it. One who knows me as manifesting in this prakriti, sa adi daivam, pertaining to the devas, as we say. Devas, as we say, nothing but the presiding deities of my senses. My senses makes me connect with this world, but there is something which is other than my eye that sees, something other than my ear that hears. That something other is actually myself. That presiding deity of each of my senses, when I know even that, and sa adi yagnam, the transaction which is taking place between my sense and this world of object, you know, is the yagna taking place every day. This is the offerings of sacrifices happening. All the objects of, you know, sound are sacrificed in my understanding of sound. All the objects of sight a sacrifice in my understanding of sight. So this transaction which is taking place is in a yajna taking place in my day-to-day life. So it's the one who understands me, the Lord, the all-pervading self, in pertaining to the world of objects, pertaining to the world of senses, and pertaining to the world of perception. Prayana kale apichamam te viduhu yukta chetasaha. Because his intellect is complete, yukta, connected with the right understanding of his self, even at the time of death. As I said, he does not get deluded that who is dying. As Pandit was saying last time, that right now we think that somebody is dying, we'll give him a little, you know, Ganga Jal, and then give him a little, you know, picture. That last time we heard this thing in our culture, that the last time if you remember God, then you will be liberated. Well, this verse actually make it clear what that really means. It's the one who has the firm understanding all his life, what his self is, in pertaining to the world of objects, in pertaining to the senses, in pertaining to this perception, in the time of death also, he does not get confused with. He knows clearly, as I said, in a barber's chair, I know the hair falling has nothing to do with me now. It's not death of my hair. It's just that I lost the use of the hair, which, you know, so I let it go. I look in the mirror and say, I don't look good. The purpose of my hair, at least now, is to make look good. And if it doesn't look good, well, let's get rid of it. So Bhagavan said, at the time of death, one who has this understanding will clearly know that this death of this body is not his death. And therefore, he remains connected with me. With that, we ended the chapter 7.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhave. Om Shantihi Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.